Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Patrick Sigener, Program Executive Officer of NASA's Integrated Financial Management Program. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us in our conversation is Steve Sigener. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Patrick, let's begin by understanding the mission of NASA's Integrated Financial Management Program, or IFMP.
Well, as the name indicates, the primary mission is to develop a financial management capability that is agency-wide and also integrates a lot of the factors that allow you to manage more effectively. Over time, the agency discovered that in the case of its undertakings, that are mostly projects and programs, there's more than just cost or budget data. There is human capital, there is resources, there is assets, and the ability to have access to all of that information in a fairly seamless way is what the agency is looking for. So although the word financial is in the middle of it, the integration component is really the goal of this specific program.
And what's the vision of the program?
The vision is to provide to management and the bulk of the agency employees the ability to access, account, track, and manage information as effectively as possible. And the information is fairly broad, so therefore, we're not just focused on one specific area of the agency, but we're looking at the institutional side, which is the administrative side, and the programmatic side. So it really is to provide an overlapping umbrella and capability to all of the employees within the agency.
How do you describe the size of this undertaking? Budget, people, time?
The current undertaking is approximately a six-year effort. The budget is $497 million. The number of people involved average approximately 300 to 400. They vary because we broke down the program into several projects, and some projects will have slightly larger staffing requirements. But that essentially is the scope and the timeline of the project.
So by normal standards, this would be a large project, but by NASA standards, this is a small project?
It's a medium-sized project. It's the cost of one shuttle launch. But from a timeline, it's a little bit shorter than some of the probes that we build and launch, but it fits within the NASA operating parameters. People feel comfortable looking at the size of the dollars, at the staffing requirements, and the fact that we're touching every single center. So we're not raising eyebrows either by being too small or too large. We're within scope.
Patrick, let me ask you a couple of questions about the genesis of IFMP. Could you start out and just give us kind of the history behind the inception of the project? And maybe you could start with what financial management looked like before IFMP and explain why NASA decided to embark on this major undertaking.
NASA has been essentially aiming at developing this fundamental capability for the past decade. This is actually the third effort aiming to develop this functionality. It started in the early 90s, where the agency took a path that looked at developing all of that software and doing all of the integration in-house, essentially soup to nuts in-house development. Unfortunately, you know, we're a scientific and engineering agency, and for several reasons, the performance that was delivered out of the early results wasn't worth the cost. So this was essentially terminated. The mid-90s, late, the effort was started again going to an outside organization. But the thrust was, again, trying to develop all of the functionality using custom code as opposed to using existing functionality that you find in packages and trying to deliver all of the capabilities serving all of the constituencies at once. In plain English, that means that we were going to have an accounting system for the accountants, budgeting system for the budgeteers, an HR system for the personnel people, a project management system for the programmatic folks, all at once. Again, this did not deliver as promised. A couple of applications were developed, but due to the complexity of the agency's structure and the wide variety of projects and programs we're involved in, we realized by 1999 that there was way too much code that needed to be cut in order to meet all of those requirements. So the third incarnation of this effort, which is the current IFMP, was started in late 2000. And in this case, we decided to go COTS, you know, the commercial off-the-shelf systems. Now, that is a little bit of a misnomer. We're using a COTS underpinning, which is the SAP relational database environment and their core financial application. And we're using specific applications that are off-the-shelf, but the integration effort is completely discrete to the agency. And in some of our future modules, what we call applications, call them modules, there is also quite a bit of development. We're using tools that are off the shelf, but for example, the way NASA formulates its budget is extremely specific to the agency, and there was nothing off the shelf that met those requirements. So we're actually developing using COTS tools our budget formulation capability. So the third try is, I would say, above all, a mix between off-the-shelf functionality and some custom development, but it's learning from the previous experiences two very critical lessons. One is, do not try to do everything at once. And the second is, look at your business processes, look at the functionality of the system that you're implementing and or purchasing, and try to actually make the processes fit the functionality of the software, as opposed to the other way around. One of the lessons learned, many lessons learned sessions we have held over the past couple of years with organizations, mostly in the private sector, that have implemented this type of software, was focused pretty much on what went wrong. I mean, the way we decided to lead those discussions was, you know, success is very difficult to define, but failure is a lot easier to bind. We need to understand why you failed. And we spoke to, you know, the users of SAP, which is the core software we're using, are mid to very large size organizations, comparable a little bit to us. And they came, and essentially out of quite a few presentations, they defined three or four major drivers on why things did not go as planned. The first one was they tried to modify the software, especially when technology companies were purchasing COTS. You know, they know they can cut code. Let me go in there. Okay, that was it. The second is you have to make sure that the system adoption goes beyond just technical success, which means this is such a complex environment that having the software essentially operate correctly is only part of the story. Unless there is a fundamental effort aimed at changing the way an agency operates or an organization operates and use the software the way it's supposed to be used, you're not going to get there. And in many cases, the system dies on the vine and you go back to the way you used to do business. And then the third element is you've got to take essentially very measured steps. And you cannot assume that previous successes are going to decrease the amount of risk that you have moving forward.
Patrick, you had mentioned that IFMP is kind of a medium-sized project, but it certainly is significant from the standpoint that it impacts everything at the agency. I'm just wondering if you could share with us your roles and responsibilities specifically around the IFMP project.
One of the most critical elements to ensure the success of this type of project, given the fact that indeed it touches pretty much everybody that works there, is a very solid endorsement from the senior leadership. When the program got off the ground, there was a realization very early on that the changes, in some cases, were so significant that unless there was the perception that senior leadership was very clearly not only supporting but also monitoring the progress, there was a possibility for some of those changes not to take place. As a consequence, the program was established in such a way that I report directly to the administrator, which means I'm responsible ultimately for the implementation and the successful operation of this series of systems. I've got a team which is composed of, you know, program management and project management, but essentially I'm the point person on making sure that not only there is proper visibility on the program performance and progress at the senior level of the organization, but also a proper line of communication that's clearly established between the various constituencies and the senior leadership. As I mentioned earlier, we're implementing a lot of changes. And in some cases, the way we are developing some business steps is potentially not as efficient as it was in the past. As a whole, it is a lot more efficient, but specific groups, organizations, constituencies are affected in different ways. And there are cases where things are actually turning out to create more workload rather than less. They're far and few in between, but they're still there. And we needed to develop a way for the people that were the most affected to have a link all the way up to the top of the organization.
That's a good point, especially about the sub-optimization. What are the pieces of a financial management program and how is it scheduled? We'll ask Patrick Sigener of NASA to explain this when the Business of Government Hour returns.